Good morning. It's great to be here in Windsor once again. And we always enjoy our time visiting here. The story is told of a young couple who was on their way to church with their six-year-old daughter, and they were stressing to the young lady the importance of behavior at church, and saying, you know, you need to behave yourself, and you need to obey us, and you need to be very, very quiet when you're in church. You can't be talking and making a lot of noise. And the father said, do you understand why you need to be quiet in church? And the little girl looked up with her big, innocent eyes and said, well, Daddy, there will be people sleeping there. So we've got that out of the way this morning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm going to share some thoughts this morning, simple, practical thoughts from the Word of God. And I don't say this in the sense of me being better or in a prideful way. I'm the type of person who likes things to be clearly stated in a very concise way. I like that. That's the way I'm wired. I don't like these things that you get when you buy some electronic device and it's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Could you just state it clearly and concisely, please, for me? That's the way I am. I'm not a big fan of long novels and things like that or rabbit trails. Just give me the facts. Give me the points that are pertinent, and we'll run with those. And this is precisely what is the case here in this passage in Deuteronomy. The Lord, through Moses, in a very concise way, summarizes what he desires from his people, being the Israelites, of course. Now, while it's written specifically to God's people in ancient times, it is certainly relevant for us today as well. We are believers. Those of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are believers. We know the Lord, and we are His. We belong to Him. We are His people in that sense. So, there are things that he requires from us as well. And, you know, again, what I'm going to share this morning is not that deep or profound necessarily. And the most difficult thing here is not understanding what is being said or the theology that's here. The most difficult part of it is the application of the truth that is presented here. And that's often the case, isn't it? It's applying the truth that is the biggest challenge for us as believers, or sticking with it. And so what we look in this passage at five different things that the Lord desires from us, His people. And it comes in the form of a question which gives us the answer, which is often the way the Word of God does things. Five things, very simple to understand, difficult to completely follow in the fullest sense of what is presented here. So, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 through 13. It says, now Israel, or we could put in us as well there, what does the Lord God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, or mandates, which I am commanding you today for your good. Five things that the Lord desires of us. And we'll get to that here in just a second. There we go. Whoops. There we go. And notice it says here, what does the Lord require from you? Now, this is not a requirement for salvation. This is not what this is talking about. The only thing in regard to salvation is our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope everyone here this morning knows the Lord personally in that regard, have trusted Him as Savior and Lord. That's the most important decision any of us will ever make. These requirements have nothing to do with salvation. They are the things that are required of us as being saved, as being God's people. So, what does the Lord require from you? And I thought about that. You know, how do I respond to that? And what's my attitude toward that? There are things that God expects from us, that He requires from us. And so am I sensitive to that? Do I follow that? And so the first one we see here is that we are to fear the Lord. Reverence. Of course, that is the thought there is to have deep respect for, to stand in awe of, to honor. And I know when I was a little kid, we would often have people in our home, and from time to time there would be someone that would come that as a little kid I would look at and say, wow, they're really something, you know, that they're you know, something about that person that just stuck out. And not that we're to revere people, but in a very small way as a child, I sense that. But that's the thought that we're to have for God all the time. Wow, what a God. How amazing He is. And, you know, I think it's significant that reverence heads the list here. Think about that for a moment. How important it is as to our whole outlook about God, that aspect of holding Him in awe and reverence. That's a very important thing to put right at the top of the list. And, you know, I think we live in a world that is very casual, isn't it, at times? It's very casual, and especially when it comes to its dealings with God or its thoughts of God. And, you know, mankind is in general very irreverent toward God. And degrades God in almost every conceivable way in His Word. Certainly there are acknowledgments of God in our world. Often it's in a very superficial way. Some sort of crisis occurs in the world and God's name comes up, or there's some catastrophic event and God suddenly is put in the place of being the one, you know, to blame for it. Why did God cause that to happen? There's no reverence for Him in that sense, but His name comes up in the conversation. And also the name of God is often used as just a mere curse word, or in many cases an exclamation of amazement. Oh my, you know, we hear that all the time. But there's not a whole lot of reverence in that, is there? There's not reverence. In our world, there is very little sense of accountability to, honor toward, reverence for God as the almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, holy, sovereign God of the universe. There's not much there for that. And it's either missing or it's way in the background. And, you know, if you look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, it's very obvious that mankind has taken a very different path in regard to what God intended, in the sense of man being holding God in awe and reverence. And, you know, it has led to a great deal of problems and failure in the world as a result. We get a very concise description of the declining path in Romans 1. It says in Romans 1, first of all, again, as we have here reverence heading the list, irreverence heads the list here. It says, for even though, in Romans 1:21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. And also in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So again, irreverence starts this downward course, right? God is not regarded as someone to be honored or revered in any way. Then you have ingratitude. That's kind of a natural step, right? You have irreverence, and now you have ingratitude. Nor, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks. Or give thanks. No thankfulness to God. And there's a great challenge for us as believers. We should be thankful people. More than anyone else in the whole world, we should be thankful. We have been saved and cleansed and made right before God. But this path of declining, irreverence, ingratitude, and then comes intellectual pride. Listen to these words. But they became futile in their own speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So that path, in irreverence, ingratitude, intellectual pride, and then idolatry, and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. And then finally, the final thing, step downward, is gross immorality that we read of in verses 26 through 32 in Romans, where it gives, you know, and it ends with the thought of, you know, although they know the ordinance of God and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's the course that mankind has taken, and it all starts with this whole thought of not holding God in the place that he deserves, and that's a place of reverence. So it's important to note that. And the rest of the things fell like dominoes. And we need to be very careful as believers. And I'm saying this in a sense of trying to encourage us this morning to be very careful that we don't get pulled into the world's way of thinking and the irreverence that is evident for God. And understand how important it is for us to hold God in this place of awe, of him being awesome. We must maintain a healthy fear of the Lord in our lives. You know, when we speak about the Lord or to the Lord, we have to make sure that it's respectful and reverent. I think it's very important. When we enter a place of worship like we are this morning, I think it behooves us to be quiet and respectful and to honor the Lord in this way. We're coming before the Lord to worship the Lord of glory. We need to have that sense of awe and respect for him. I think our churches in general, the church in general, needs a fresh batch of reverence. And all of us, we can all examine our hearts in that regard. The Lord requires it of us, reverence. Number one. Secondly, holiness. It says that we are to walk in all his ways. What are the ways of God? Well, the ways of holiness, right? The ways of purity, the ways of righteousness. Speaks of, really, holiness speaks of separation, doesn't it? Of being separate from that which is not holy and right before God. Walking in his ways. Living a life in a way that pleases him. In purity of heart, with integrity, set apart for him, devoted to him, walking in his ways. It's very clear in Scripture that the Lord's ways are very separate from the world's ways, of doing things and seeing things and thinking of things. The Lord would have us walking the way he walks. Scripture exhorts us in 1 Peter 1:14-16, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. What does the Lord require of us? To walk in his ways, to be holy. Just as God chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. We must walk in his ways. We must, we have to be very careful not to go the way of Demas, where we read and are told of in 2 Timothy, he deserted the Apostle Paul because of his love for the world. His love for the world and the way of the world. Scripture is very clear in instructing us in Titus 2:12. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's walking in the ways of God, isn't it? And it all begins with the fear of the Lord, reverence. It is that fear that equips us to live or walk in his ways. That of living sensibly. What does it mean to live sensibly in this world? Well, with a sound mind, soberly, discreetly, with discernment, well-grounded. Where do we get that? From the Word of God, right? We ground ourselves in the Word of God. We are able to have a discernment because of the Word of God. Living sensibly. We are to live righteously, properly, rightly, justly, agreeably before God. How are we going to do that? We are going to do that in the power of the Spirit, right? The power of the Spirit of God indwelling us will give us the ability to walk in a way that is right before God, in a proper way, in an upright way, and in to live godly with devotion and dedication to God. All of these things are part of this walking in his ways. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It's the jumping point, so to speak. It's the entryway into wisdom and knowledge, the fear of God. So therefore, it is also the entryway for us now to have this sense of walking with him and doing what is right. Now, having said that, we have to understand that walking in the ways of God, walking sensibly and righteously and in a godly way, is not legalism, is it? That's not what God is talking about. Legalism, we have to guard against, don't we? Because it is a something that will pretty much ruin everything around us and everyone around us. It manifests itself in many different ways, but in a general sense, it manifests itself in very strict rules and regulations, always involving outward appearance and things, which also imposes itself on others. You understand what I'm saying? That's legalism. And we have to guard against. That's not what walking in the ways of God, walking uprightly and honoring to him. So we need to truly separate ourselves. But separation is a thing of the heart, isn't it? It's not about outward appearances, how long one, hair, whatever. Those aren't the things. It's the heart that matters. And true separation begins in the heart. Making a genuine break with the standards and the objectives of this world is a heart thing. And to live according to the ways of God in a world that is completely opposed to everything about that. But it is a heart thing. It has to be from the heart. We do still live in this world, though, don't we? And to be separate doesn't mean that we separate ourselves in some place where we never have contact with anyone, ever. That's not the thought of being separate and holy either, or of walking in God's ways. We are to be involved in the sense that we must be a positive influence in witnessing to others about the gospel. Anyone we come across in our as we go, the gospel must be something that's at the tip of our tongues. And we must be an example in that sense, walking in the ways of God sensibly, righteously, and godly before them, but not in a sense of legalism. So, holiness, that's another requirement that God has for us. And it's certainly not an exhaustive look into that, but these are things that we can further study for ourselves as we go forward. Love is the next one. It says, you know, what does the Lord require of us but to love Him? Our relationship with the Lord needs to be a love relationship, doesn't it? Not just some relationship that's another thing, that's another part of my life. It is my life. My love relationship with the Lord. I should look to the Lord as someone I just have this deepest affection for. Putting Him first in everything. Full devotion of heart. When you love that way. And again, it is a heart thing, isn't it? It's not outward manifestations of rituals and things like that. And it is our heart, in with our hearts that we love Him. We were here this morning, and in several comments and prayers, and even in songs, the message was, or the thought was, our love for the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. Mark 12:30 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This passage underscores the absolute completeness of the love we are to have for God. And as I was thinking of that, you know, there's lots of things that go on in the course of my day as a believer, and you know, you read and you study and you prepare and you serve and you do this and that. But is there that true deep affection for the Lord there? Is there that true deep affection? You know, it to me it's interesting, again, if you go to the order of these things, it's interesting that God's desire that we love Him is given after reverence and holiness. And I think, again, that's significant. Think about for a minute. Think about what kind of love could be exhibited by one who does not honor the Lord with reverence and does not walk according to the Lord's ways. What better way of proving our love, manifesting our love for the Lord in reverencing Him and walking in His ways? So it's significant. There's always significance in Scripture as to the order of things. Reverence, holiness, and love. You know, to love the Lord is not just something we talk about, is it? To love my wife is not something I just talk about. It is intentional. It is action. It's actually something that's happening. And it is from our hearts. It is as we're walking in His ways to love the Lord with everything we have in us. It would be absolutely hypocritical to say we love the Lord and to not fear Him and to walk in His ways. Absolutely be hypocritical in that sense. So we are to love the Lord with everything we have in our soul, everything in our mind, everything in our strength. And notice the fourth one, service. And notice here it says, serve the Lord again with all your heart and with all your soul. We're to love Him with everything we've got, and we're to serve Him with everything we've got. You know, isn't it amazing just to think about for a moment that the Lord desires from us that we serve Him? Do I thank the Lord enough for that privilege? It is a privilege to serve Almighty God. I mean, come on, it's what a privilege that is that we've been given. But do I look at it that way, or is it something, oh brother, I got to go to Awana again? You know, it's a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord. And it does involve labor, doesn't it? It involves sacrifice. It involves devotion. To truly serve the Lord is going to cost us something, isn't it? It's hard work sometimes. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's difficult. It's heart-rending sometimes. There's all sorts of things that can happen in serving the Lord. But nevertheless, it's a privilege, and it's something that the Lord desires from us. He desires that we serve Him in some capacity. And there's so many different ways to serve the Lord, aren't there? So many different facets to that. Each believer, however, even though there are many, many different things, each believer is responsible to serve in some way. There's none of us that are exempt from that. We're to serve the Lord. He requires it of us. In some way, each of us should seek out some way to get involved in serving Him. And I would challenge everyone here at Grace and Truth, get involved in the Lord's work in some capacity. Whether it be, serving the Lord can be being a prayer warrior of some sort. It can be giving. It can be serving others, witnessing, visitation. There's a great ministry of visitation of those who are shut in and maybe down and depressed or whatever the case may be. Visiting people. Camp work. Missions work. I mean, it goes on and on and on. As to what, I mean, even just like next Sunday, there's a luncheon here, serving in a capacity of helping set up and take down. That's all part of serving the Lord together. So there's lots and lots of different, the list could go on and on in terms, just to say this, to encourage everyone, serve the Lord. He requires it. The point is that the Lord desires us to serve Him not for self-serving reasons, but to truly serve Him, to benefit others in some way, in some capacity. The question is are we? Again, this isn't hard to understand, serve the Lord. Not hard to understand that, but the hard part is are we actually doing it? And I, as I'm reading through this, I have to ask that myself. You know, oh yeah, that's easy to read, serve the Lord. But am I? Am I doing it? And if I am doing it, am I doing it with my whole heart, as I'm told here? With everything in me, am I doing that for the Lord? For no other reason other than to just serve Him and glorify Him. Not for my own purposes, but for Him. Serve the Lord. And then finally, obedience. Keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes. You know, obedience is a lot more than just doing what is commanded, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, there were many times when I was told to perhaps sit down, Daniel. Sit down. And oh, I sat down, but I can tell you very, very clearly that I was standing on the inside. You ever have that experience? Yeah. Not unique in that. True obedience is an attitude of the heart before it's an action, isn't it? What the Lord is that's what the Lord's requiring from us. Not the I'm sitting on the outside but standing in the inside. That's not the kind of obedience he wants. He wants our hearts to be engaged in complete obedience, and then it manifests itself in our actions, right? How we behave ourselves. It is willing submission, absolute submission to the Lord's authority in our lives. That's what obedience is. And that stems from reverence, doesn't it? Total, absolute submission to the authority of God is a direct result of reverence for Him, right? Obedience is yielding to the Lord and to the authority of His Word, and then doing as He commands us to do. Bowing to His authority. And that's hard, isn't it, for us as humans who want to do things our own way often. We understand this concept of obedience, but it's a much more difficult thing to actually put into full practice. Because we like to do things the way we like to do things. We have our own ideas about the way things should be done. But we have to look at the example that the Lord has put before us Himself. It says in Philippians 2:8, Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's full, complete submission, right? And that's the example He sets before us. And, you know, we may think we have the right answers and we may think we have the right way, but notice what it says here at the end of that passage, that God's commands are given for our good. He knows best, doesn't He? He knows best in every regard, in every situation. He knows what's best. And it's best that as the sovereign God of the universe, we follow His commands and not follow our emotions. Our emotions are going to lead us in the wrong path every time. Follow the rock solid commands of Almighty God, and that is going to be for our good. Always. There's nothing that God is going to ever command us do that isn't going to be for our good. We can be confident of that. He is truth, but He's also love, right? He loves us with an everlasting love that will never, ever, in any way weaken or fall. It says that we will never be disappointed. Trust Him. So, obedience. Obedience to the Lord. Five things: reverence, holiness, love, service, obedience. Five things the Lord desires from us, requires from us. The Lord help us as we seek to walk with Him and do and carry out these things in our everyday lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word this morning, and we thank You for Your great, amazing, unbounded, unconditional love for us that has provided for us the way of salvation, the perfect way of salvation, where we can be forgiven and cleansed and made right in Your sight forever. We praise and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the atoning work of the Lord Jesus has made all of this possible. And so we just commit ourselves to You and ask Your blessing on each one here. And again, thank and praise You for all things in the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.